I know I take a risk when I do something like that, to because we are so tied to our memories, aren't we? And for those of you who grew up with music like that, that's all you're going to think about, aren't you, for the rest of the sermon time. But I wanted to bring this message of song into our up to the top of our minds this morning. Let me just read some of the words of the song by Jackson Brown. I don't know where I'm running. I'm just running on. Everyone I know, everywhere I go, people need some reason to believe. I don't know about anyone but me. Running on empty, running blind, running into the sun, but I'm running behind. You know, I don't even know what I'm hoping to find. Running into the sun, but I'm running behind. Running on empty, running on. Well, there's nothing like a full tank of gas, amen? And I think all of us like to get those beautiful little gas gift cards in our stockings, you know what I'm saying, for Christmas? I don't know if you're like me or not, but when I get one of those, there's more tied to it than just a tank of gas. For me, it's, oh, the places we could go. You know what I'm saying? It's like it lights up my imagination with everywhere that's possible now with a full tank of gas. And for those of you who are teenagers and know how hard it is to have a full tank of gas, amen? When you get amen, Renata? When you get a full tank of gas, you're thinking, the world is at my feet. I can go anywhere. Nothing like a full tank of gas. Dan, if we had a full tank of gas in your van, we could go to Lake Erie and catch walleye this morning. Oh, maybe you have to fill it up a couple times. My Suburban has a 42-gallon tank, and I can remember back when gas was $4.50 a gallon, I can remember spending $160 at a time to fill that thing up. But before you focus on that, think about all the miles that you can go with 42 gallons. You know what I'm saying? I could go over 650 miles. On 42 gallons of gas in my Suburban. And think about all of the gas that the big trucks take. I'm thinking about Todd this morning, probably out on the road today with a 300 plus gallon fuel tank. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Philippians. Before we go there, I'm going to read a couple verses this morning. There's a different way to live than living on empty. Amen, Steve. Amen, Mike. And that song is so powerful because it speaks to the desperation that we have all felt in our life. Amen, Jay. That song is so powerful because it reaches back in our soul to a time when we were living in high risk, and it was scary, but it was also exhilarating because we were young and we hadn't yet come to grips with the fact that everything we were doing we're going to have to pay for. But that song brings that all back, doesn't it, for those of us who grew up in that era. Jesus says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. Amen. Jesus wants you to live with a full tank. Yeah. The idea of running on empty is foreign to the gospel that you and I hold in our hands this morning. I shared this morning that during small groups that coming to church and being a follower of Jesus Christ is not safe. There is risk. But it's putting our trust where it belongs instead of putting our trust in fleeting things. Amen? Oh, it's good stuff. All right. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. our joy that the apostle is going to talk to us about this morning in Philippians, our joy does not depend on happenings. Our happiness, amen, Devin, does not depend on the happenings in our life. But rather our joy comes from being filled with Jesus. Our joy comes from being filled with the right things. The difference between junk food and good food. As Jesus talked to the woman at the well in John chapter 4, he reminds her that if you drink from the water that I give, you'll never thirst again. So, Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. It's my privilege to read it to you this morning. Would you stand in honor of God's Word? Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown. Paul talks a lot about joy in Philippians. It's funny, isn't it? Because he's in prison. He shouldn't be happy. But he is. His tank ought to be low, but it's not. Therefore, my dear brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. And we'll stop there. You may be seated. So today we're going to think not just about being filled, but living life every day, amen, Joey, from a full tank. The idea of running empty and stopping alongside the road and waiting for help, it's not what we're talking about. We're talking about keeping the tank full by spiritual nurture, by spiritual feeding, by spiritual drinking and eating with the community of faith in Jesus. Amen? Living from a filled reservoir, rather from one that is nearly empty and spent. There's another way to look at this. One of the core values of Living Well Church is that we develop margin in our lives. Not so that we can push Jesus out there, and not so that we can push the church out there and become so busy that we don't have time for the most important things, but rather that we put Jesus in the very center of our life, and by putting Jesus in the center of our life, we begin to see that margin is important to do the things that are important to do. And Jesus helps us to do that because we can begin to say no to some things that were very difficult to say no to before. And yes to some things that we knew were right all along. But we finally have the courage and the Holy Spirit to say yes. In our first three verses, Paul is commending two women who have contended for the cause of the gospel at Paul's side. I love that because over the course of the years of ministry that I have been pastor, it's been wonderful to see the different people in the church that have been so faithful, and you count on them, and they're there no matter what's going on. They're there and faithful. You know, we believe in women in ministry in the Church of the Nazarene. Paul is commending two women who have contended for the cause of the gospel at Paul's side. Let me just take a minute while we're here to remind us that in the Church of the Nazarene, we recognize from Scripture that God calls both men and women into ordained ministry as deacons and elders, as well as other positions of leadership in the church. Let me read from the Church of the Nazarene manual this morning. The Church of the Nazarene supports the right of women to use their God-given spiritual gifts within the church and affirms the historic right of women to be elected and appointed to places of leadership within the church, including offices of elder and deacon. The purpose of Christ's redemptive work is to set God's creation free from the curse of the fall. Those who are in Christ are new creations. Remember in 2 Corinthians, Tina, it says, "For in Christ we are neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor slave, male nor female, but in Christ we are free in Him." In this redemptive community, no human being is to be regarded as inferior on the basis of social status, race, or gender. In Galatians 3, 26 and 28 is a good one there. Acknowledging the apparent paradox created by Paul's instruction to Timothy, where Paul is instructing, directing, he's looking at a particular problem in a particular local church, and he says, "I do not permit a woman to speak here." And we don't believe that we should interpret all of God's intention for ministry and women under, there's two scriptures that have that inclination to them. We believe Paul is addressing a particular problem in two particular churches. We believe that interpreting these passages as limiting the role of women in ministry presents overall serious conflict with specific passages of Scripture that commend female participation in spiritual leadership roles, such as Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 29, Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 21, Romans chapter 16, and then here in Philippians chapter 4. And if you want to look at this on the Church of the Nazarene website, you can, nazarene.org. Just look at the manual in the church. Finally, it is incompatible with the character of God presented throughout Scripture to limit the role of ministry to men, especially as revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. On our district, we have several fine female elders and deacons, one of which is the senior pastor at the Princeton Church of the Nazarene, where our own son, Paul, and your brother serves as minister of music, and your sister goes there, yep. Pastor Laura Root Tanner, doing a wonderful job there in Princeton. So may we not be surprised that God will continue to call female ministers as well as male into positions of leadership within the church. Amen. 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 Philippians 4, 4 through 9. Let's move on. Philippians 4, 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always, Paul says. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. The last time I wrote in my Bible here, the last time we were in this scripture, Honey and Amber were standing. About right here, you remember? We were this way in the room. And I can remember Honey and Amber opening the service with this particular passage of Scripture. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all. And I thought, beautiful thing to see it. And as I got to know them over the course of the next month, got to know Honey, and yeah, I don't know if you remember or not, but every work night we had, he showed up and did the lowest of the lowest jobs. And let me just read that, because as they were reading, I was figuring out, you know, who they were as people. I'd only met them that morning. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the more I got to know Honey and Amber, the more I got to see that this was not just scripture for them out of a book that they never read. This was what they were living on. Amen? As they faced situations in the orphanage there in Mexico, and they dealt with great need, and they dealt with great strain on financial resources, and dealt with great situations behaviorally, and dealt with great loss in the orphanage, I realized that there's something in these verses that their souls have to hang to. Amen? Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. So much of life is a matter of perspective. I was telling Tina earlier this morning, when I first rode my bike to Dixon, I was scared to death because I had this barrier in my mind of all the things that could go wrong by setting out on a 14-mile ride, you know, cross-country or whatever you call it. Not really cross-country because there's a road there and stuff. You know, it's not that wild, Steve. It's just a road.
It's a highway.
It's a highway, yeah. I thought, you know, I could run out of energy. I could get a mechanical breakdown. All these things would go through my mind about things, why I can't do it. But the day that we did it, we got here and I was like, that wasn't so hard. And I realized that some of the things that we do, we have already concluded in our minds that we can't do because it's too difficult. But then I realize whenever we push through a barrier, so much of life is really up to a proper perspective. And I realized that barrier that had limited me for so long really didn't need to be there. Amen? It was an imaginary barrier. Keeping the right frame of mind is the life of faith. Amen, Jay? You see, when God calls us to put it all on the line for Him and live our lives for Him, we say, well, I can't do that. There's so many things that will break in my life if I do that. God says, I invite you to cross this imaginary barrier with me in faith. Walk not by sight, but by faith. And every time we do that, and we live by faith and not by sight, Jesus is right there to catch us. Amen, Joe? And we're like, well, that wasn't so hard. Why didn't I do that 20 years ago? Living by faith and not by sight. Keeping the right frame of mind. To rejoice. Paul is filled with joy. What are some things that you could rejoice over right now? Now, don't think of the happy things. Think of the really difficult things. And then rejoice about it. Just let it fly in the face of being happy. And your happiness counting on good happenings. And just rejoice in the fact that Jesus is Lord. And He's going to be Lord over those difficult situations in your life. Amen? Just rejoice. I'll say it again, Paul says. Rejoice. Here's Paul in prison helping us know and realize that there's more to life than living with an empty tank. That the joy that he had is possible in our life too, because it's not dependent on happenings going well for us. It's dependent on us being filled with Jesus. Praise the Lord. So rejoice in those unexpected bills. Rejoice in the illness. Rejoice in the pain. Rejoice in the difficulty. Just go ahead and make the devil scratch his head going, oh no, he's lost it. He's crazy. Just rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Paul says, let your gentleness be known, be evident. Let your gentleness be evident in verse 5. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. I like the fact that gentleness is mentioned as one of the fruits of the Spirit. Did you know that we can give Jesus our sins, and that's easy? I did that when I was really young. I wanted to go to heaven. And He made it possible for me because Jesus died for my sins. And I said, I receive your forgiveness for my sins. And then as I lived a little longer into my teenage years, I realized that I had given Jesus my sins because it was an all win for me. I got forgiveness for my sins, but I was still trying to live my life as if I was God. So there came a time in my own life when I had to rescind my claim on me being God of my life, which is actually His life in me. So these fruits of the Spirit, they come as we give Jesus rule and reign of our life. You see, I can be saved and still be a very selfish person. I can be saved and never grow. I can be saved and spend 30 years in the church and never really mature into what Jesus has for me in life, living by faith and not by sight. I can be saved and still retain ownership of everything in my life. It doesn't change Jesus' love for me, but it really changes the outcome for who I am as a steward of His resources. The fruit of the Spirit's love, joy, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control is mentioned here, gentleness. The Greek word here suggests for gentleness a non-retaliatory spirit. That means when we're wronged, you know. When we're wronged, it means we're not just going to go get them, sick them. It means we're not going to get them back. It reminds me of Jesus on the cross. Instead of saying, Father, sick them, or instead of telling His disciples, when they're not looking, stab them in the back. The soldiers who put Him on the cross. Instead, it looks more like, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. I imagine there's some situations in your life that would apply to. Amen. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. The Apostle Paul says, let your gentleness be evident to all. Joy may not always be immediately recognized because, hey, sometimes we've got to grind it out in life and it's difficult. And we've been in situations like that as a church where the work that we've got to do is very difficult. We come in late on a Thursday night in order to get ready for something that's happening for the weekend or whatever, and we're like, man, this is hard work, and you know, I wish I had some more help, and I wish, you know, joy may not always be immediately recognized, but the way that we respond to others, whether in gentleness or harshness, will be noticed. Amen. And Paul says, let your gentleness be evident to all. Let's look at Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. verse 6 of Philippians chapter 4 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Let's talk about that for a moment. The nearness of God. That God is near. I want you to know this morning that that's a fact. You don't have to make it up. You don't have to imagine that He's near. He's near. In fact, He's so near that the Bible says He could come back in the twinkling of an eye. That's pretty close. And you see, we can look at that nearness as a place of comfort. But you see, sin, of course, comes in and we can feel very emotionally distanced or spiritually distanced from God. But the fact of the matter is, God is still just a prayer away. So there might be some things in your life right now that you wish you felt the presence of God in. Just whisper a prayer right now, because He is near. Just let Him into that situation. Whatever it is right now you're going through, just invite Him in. He's right there. Just pray. Pray Him in. Jesus, we welcome You into this situation in our life right now. The Lord is near. James 4:8 says, "Draw near to the Lord and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Finally, Philippians 6, or chapter 4, verse 6. The apostle speaks to the problem of anxiety for a moment. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." I just want to revisit something that we talked about a few weeks ago, and that is, to be anxious means to be divided. It means to be all parsed up and not whole. So when the Apostle Paul says, don't be anxious about anything, but by prayer and petition, bring it all to God. Just bring it all. Everything. Every part of you. Every issue that's going on in life right now, just bring it to Him. As Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, "Do not worry about what you eat or about what you drink, about what you wear. The pagans run after those things. For your heavenly Father knows what you need. He knows what you need before you even know it. And look at the lilies of the field and the birds of the air. If your heavenly Father will feed them, take care of them, will not He take care of you?" Yes. Yes. Would you claim that right now? I know it's risky to put your trust in the Lord. But would you just not worry? Would you, with me, cast all your anxiety upon the Lord? Because He cares for you. And let that wholeness return. Say, "Devil, you're not going to parse me up and divide me up into worrying about that and being overly concerned about that and consumed with that. Just let the wholeness of Jesus return into your heart and life. And live this life to the full that He is inviting us to. Amen. Praise His name. I'm going to close with some scripture. Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 19. Some scripture and a short story, then we'll be done. "I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you've been concerned, but have had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content in whatever my circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, you, as Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I sent out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I'm looking for a gift, but I'm looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment and even more. I'm amply supplied. Now that I've received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, they're a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God, and my God will meet all your needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. Paul Harvey tells the story of Ray Blankenship preparing his breakfast one morning and gazing out the window when he saw a small girl being swept along in the rain-flooded drainage ditch beside his Andover, Ohio home. Blankenship knew that farther downstream the ditch disappeared with a roar underneath a road and then emptied out into the main culvert. Ray dashed out the door, raced along the ditch, trying to get ahead of the floundering child. Then he hurled himself into the deep, churning water. Blankenship surfaced and was able to grab the child's arm. They tumbled end over end with about 3 feet shy of the yawning culvert. Ray's free hand felt something protruding from one bank, and he grabbed onto it and he clung to it desperately. The force of the water tried to tear him and the child away, and he said, "If only I can hang on until help comes," he thought. He did better than that. By the time the fire department rescuers arrived, Blankenship had pulled the girl to safety. Both were treated for shock. On April 12, 1989, Ray Blankenship was awarded the Coast Guard's Silver Life-Saving Medal. The award is fitting for this selfless person was at even greater risk to himself than most people knew. Ray Blankenship couldn't swim. In many respects, we are like Ray Blankenship. We're jumping into the deep waters without knowing for sure how we're going to do this, without a knowledge of how to swim. For some, that's reason enough to go back to the shore. But we need to understand that's exactly where God wants us to be, in the middle of the deep water, amidst the swift currents of our culture, doing a new thing for the kingdom of God, something we may never have done before. Let us step forward in faith and recognize that God never calls His servants to a work that He can't accomplish in and through us. Amen. Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Worship team, would you come? As we think about how to respond to this message in our own hearts this morning, several options we all have. One is to say, "That was another profound, awesome message, Pastor John." But there's a better way to respond, and that is to recognize that the Holy Spirit has just spoken. And He's given you something to chew on. He's given you bread for life and living water. Amen, Deb. And He invites us to participate in His life by walking by faith and not by sight. So Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And then immediately you think, "Well, I've got 100 reasons why I can't." And then Paul says, "Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. But I've got 1,000 reasons why I shouldn't. Rejoice! Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again. Rejoice. Don't be anxious for anything. Let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near. If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen, Steve. Amen. If He's right here, if He's right here, my negative emotions about how I feel about stuff, I can hold Him at arm's length. Because in a strange way, I feel like I'm in more control. Jesus says, you weren't designed to be Lord of your life. You can't do it. Just receive me into your life. I'm right here, just a prayer away. Amen. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So we recognize that the Holy Spirit has spoken this morning. So what will we do about it? We can acknowledge that He has given us great blessing. We can acknowledge that He's given us His Word. But He's inviting us to follow Him and do it. Amen, Jay? To not just say, that was good. Yes. I'll come back for more next week, but to live it now. Let's praise Him for His faithfulness this morning. Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever will be. Great Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand has provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Above, joined with all nature in manifold witness to Thy great faithfulness, mercy and love.
Let's praise Him.
Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Sin and the peace that endureth, and Thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is Thy faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have need.
is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto.
Praise his name. Let's pray together. Father, we receive the gift of your faithfulness. We receive the gift of your provision. We receive the gift of your grace. We acknowledge that we are in dire need, and we receive you. Thank you for being near. Thank you for offering to accept our anxiety and our care. And Lord, today we live in gratitude for all that you've given and for who you are most of all. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. As we close,
you did not wait for me to draw near to you, but you clothed yourself in frail humanity. You did not wait for me to cry out to you, but you let me hear your voice calling me. I'm forever grateful.
Sing it like we mean it. You
did not wait for me to draw near to you, but you clothed yourself in your humanity. You did not wait for me to cry out to you, but you let me hear your voice calling me. I'm forever grateful.
Save the lost, that's me.
That you came to seek and save the lost. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. God bless you guys. Have a great week. You are dismissed.